Hey, if you would stand with me as we read the Word of God, we're going to be in Exodus 8, starting at verse 16. And while you're turning there, if you don't know me, my name's Randy. I'm one of the elders here. It's funny, our lead pastor was on worship, and our worship guy was on bass, and now I'm here. So, just filling in for a day. So, Exodus 8, starting at verse 16. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron, stretch out your staff and strike the dust of the ground. And throughout the land of Egypt, the dust will become gnats." They did this, and when Aaron stretched out his hand with the staff and struck the dust of the ground, gnats came on the people and animals. All the dust throughout the land of Egypt became gnats. But when the magicians tried to produce gnats by their secret arts, they could not. Since the gnats were on the people and the animals everywhere, the magician said to Pharaoh, "This is the finger of God." But Pharaoh's heart was hard and would not listen, just as the Lord had said. Well, I know we're not getting into this verse yet, and I'll read it a little bit later, but later on, the next one is about the flies. Is anybody having problems with flies right now? Yeah, a friend of mine said, I wish I would have done a slideshow, but he sent me, it's a picture, it's a meme, I guess, and it's a fly, and it says the Idaho State Bird. Man, I got a poll for you. I'd like to know, because I know where my answer is on this. You know, it's the sliding glass door on the back porch, right? Is that not where all the flies hang out? And you open the door and they're like, shoo. They only know one thing, in. Like if you open it back up, they don't go out. They just come in. So tell me, what do you think's more annoying? Would it be like 100 flies in your house? Or for me, it's that one that you can't, he likes to circle in front of the TV, in the air, in this circle, and you go and you shush him and he just comes back. So I don't know, what do you guys think? Is it the 100 flies or would it be the one that just annoys you? The one? Yeah, okay, so there's more people like me. All right, so I got another good story for you. So most of you guys know I'm in real estate. I'm working with a couple clients. They're in their 90s. They've just bought and sold a house. They're very active. The first time I met the 90-year-old man, he was a chaplain, I believe, in the Korean War. He's in his swimming pool throwing his grandchildren around, 90, 91 years old. So I have an appointment to meet these guys at their new house. We have to sign some paperwork. And I go and I knock on the door and nobody answers. And I ring the doorbell and nobody answers. And I'm like, well, these guys are always on time. They're always here. I'm getting a little nervous, but I'm like, I'll call their daughter and son-in-law, and I call them, and they're like, no, mom and dad should be home. They're like, hold on, let's call the cell phone. So they call the cell phone, and I can hear it going off inside. I'm like, oh, man, these guys are in their 90s. I'm like, hey, buddy, I got a key to their house still. Do you want me to go in? They're like, yeah, please, Randy, check on our parents. That was not in real estate school. I'm just telling you, that was not part of the assignment. So I unlocked the door, and they have this west-facing backyard, and I can see in the back porch, I can see the husband's head and all these flies flying around on the back porch. And he's not moving. So I walk up, and you know, you get a lot of thoughts in your mind, right? Like, the first thought is, like, should I just leave? Like, this is very uncomfortable. But I manned up, and I go to the back, and I open the door, and I see the flies disperse. And he's like, hey, Randy, how you doing? Oh, gosh, thank you. I'm like, do you know there's, like, flies flying all over you out here, and you're not moving? And he was actually studying the Word of God, which was really cool. But then it led to the next problem. I'm like, where's your wife? He's like, I don't know. So now I've got this 90-year-old man running through the house trying to find his wife. So I've got everybody. Anyway, she's out in the garage working on something, and we finally find her. Everybody was fine. But in the meantime, I was like, oh, my goodness, I did not sign up for this. So, and the flies are what really threw me off. Like, you see flies flying around a 90-year-old man, you're just like, this just can't be good. But no, they were just out there hanging out with him. So when we get back into the Word of God, it talks about the gnats, and boy, I went down this pigeonhole. Boy, you could really study and look at the Greek and the Hebrew and the Septuagint and all this. Anyways, what it really comes down to, these gnats would have been something that fastens to you or stings you or just a really nasty bug. So just imagine that. I've heard it's mosquitoes, lice. It's going to be painful and annoying, disturbing. I even wrote, ugh. I don't know, have you guys ever had the pleasure of meeting a no-see-um? Yeah, those little tiny black gnat things that you can't see, so they're called no-see-ums. And then they bite you and you don't see them and they bite you again, and you're trying to find them. I could imagine that's kind of what it was like. That it was very uncomfortable for the people of Egypt. When we go on into verse 17, it said, "And Aaron stretched out his hand with the staff and struck the dust of the ground, and the gnats or the lice or the mosquitoes or whatever they were came on the people and the animals." We're reminded in this verse that God has the power over all things. I mean, think about that. I don't know about you, but in my house, the dust comes in daily and covers everything. Now, he just struck the dust of the ground. Could you imagine? First, I think it's just awesome to even think that God's like, yeah, I'm just going to turn the dust into these really cool creatures that are going to annoy everybody. How powerful and mighty is that? But just how plentiful that had been. And we see that God is not limited. If you read in Genesis 2:7, God formed man out of the dust of the ground. We also we have the burning bush that really never burned in Exodus 3. We have the parting of the Red Sea in Exodus 14. We have water coming from the rock in Exodus 17. We have the feeding of 5,000 in Matthew 14, the miraculous catch, and the famous turning water into wine. For me personally, I find great hope in this. See, one thing I think we mistakenly do is we read these as stories, like a children's book. These are accounts of history. This is the account of God and what he's doing. And he's showing himself and his power in these things. And it's easy for me to gloss over this and be like, oh yeah, God turned everything into all the dust into a gnat or lice, and go, that was great. But wait, that's pretty powerful. And it gives me great hope to go, if my God can do something like that, what can he do in my life? We go on to verse 18, and we see, "But when the magicians tried to produce the gnats by their secret arts, they could not." So Terry was talking about this a few weeks ago when he was saying that the magicians working in the evil power or the dark arts or whatever you want to call it were limited to only mimicking or replicating what God could do. So we're seeing the constraints of the enemy's power at this point. And now, not only are they constrained to only mimicking it, but they couldn't. So you see there's a limit on the power that could be used against you or that Satan could use. We can the power eventually runs out. And God has put a limit on that. So it's all within what God wants to allow the enemy to do. And in this point, he finally said, enough is enough. I'm not going to let your dark arts work anymore. I think it's a great kind of comparison here in Job. After Job is done complaining to God, and I see myself as a father doing the same thing to my children, I'm like, let me explain something to you. Right? Like, you didn't work to earn this house, or that car you're driving, or paying for those medical bills that you have. Let me tell you what I've done. Now, mine is probably not righteous like God's is, but here in Job 38, as God is explaining to him about his complaining, he says, "Who shut up the seas behind the doors when it burst forth from the womb? When I made the clouds its garment? When I fixed limits for it and set its doors and bars in place? When I said, this far you may come and no farther. Here's where your proud waves halt." Even God put limits on the things on earth. He shored up the seas. He covered it with the clouds. He put limits on everything. And so he's done that to the spiritual side. And remember, our battle is not against flesh and blood, right? It's against the principalities of this world. That which we should not fear, because we know that their power is only allowed for what God will give them. So find great hope in that. In verse 19, we see the magician said to Pharaoh, "This is the finger of God." But Pharaoh's heart was hard, and he would not listen, just as the Lord had said. So even the magicians at this point are going, hey, there's a power greater than what we're serving right now. It doesn't necessarily say they admitted that God was the one that was driving that power, but even in their dark arts and in their basically wickedness, they were even like, look, we can't replicate this. Our power's run out, and we know there is something greater than us in this. And then we also have in this verse, we have Pharaoh's heart hardening. Thank you. All right, I got it out. And we see, and I reading a lot about this, and I know some of us can struggle with this because earlier on it says God hardened Pharaoh's heart. And really digging into that word, from what I could see, and there's a ton of different commentaries on it, it's really that God allowed him to harden his heart. I was kind of breaking down the words. I struggled with it a little bit, like, wow, man, is God really good if he's going to harden somebody's heart and turn it and let him be this way? But then, you know, you kind of see the, I'm just going to draw the blank on the word right now. I'll have to skip over that because I'm drawing a blank. But anyways, Pharaoh's heart was hardened on his own. And I was realizing something when I read this. Something finally clicked to me last night as I'm sitting in my office on a Saturday, and I think our pastor was out grocery shopping or something, and I told my wife, tell him, hey, I hope you're having a good time as I'm in here studying and you're out grocery shopping. No, I'm just kidding. I see this story of the plagues play out in my life and my salvation. I see that when I was raised and the way I was living my life is I had all these idols in my life. I did not believe in God, so I said. I was probably agnostic. I believed in something. But I had the money, and I had the relationships, and I had all the cool stuff. And at some point, God finally looked at me, and I feel, and gosh, if I'm getting into blasphemy here, I am so sorry, but I really just went like, God took all that away from me. He first struck my finances. Like, at this point in my life, I had had more money than I'd ever had in my entire life. I'd sold some property. I was living high on the hog. And all of a sudden, it was gone. And to this day, I still can't tell you. I'm a budget man. Like, I don't know where it went. I don't know how it went so far. And then he struck my health. I thought I had throat cancer at that time. I'm sitting there living high on the hog and loving life and rather be hunting on a Sunday than going to church. And then all of a sudden, I figure I got throat cancer. And then he attacked my source of income. I lost my wages. The person I was living with lost their wages. They were going through health issues as well. And then he struck my relationships. And I was just sitting there going, oh my gosh, this was my Pharaoh moment. This was where God was like, hey, Randy, I really need to get a hold of you. I really need to knock all those idols out of your life, and I need you to come and know me, but I can't do that until I get rid of these things. And you kind of see that similar with Pharaoh there, right? Like, I think God is being merciful to Pharaoh, in my opinion, because he's actually giving him so many chances here, giving him an opportunity to truly repent, say I'm sorry, and turn to God. So my warning to you here is if you're going through that right now in your life, like I was about 20-some years ago, and you're feeling like, gosh, man, he struck my finances, he struck all the things that I hold high in my life, all the idols that I'm holding on to, man, be careful. Don't harden your heart to that. Don't harden your heart to the calling of God on your life. Sometimes he uses these, I know they're plagues, but they're also supernatural. And they're from God. They could be doing good things in your life. They could be trying to transform you and get you to truly follow him. And second, my warning to you is be careful if somebody else is going through these. I think there's times that we want to step in and play God when he's already doing what he needs to be doing. I think we want to go in and rescue. Oh, I'm going to bless them by this. If somebody would have came in and bailed me out of all those things, I might not have turned to God. I needed to hit rock bottom. I needed to lose everything that I held dear in my life before I'd finally go, okay, God, I have nothing left. I truly believe in you. And that was Father's Day 20-some years ago. And it was great because the sermon was like, hey, what are you going to leave for your kids? I'm like, oh, I don't have any money. Are you going to leave them your health? I'm like, I think I'm dying of throat cancer. You going to leave them your relationships? I'm like, those are all ending. Okay, I really have nothing left. So just be careful and be prayerful when you're going to help people. Just ask God, God, are you working in their life? Are you trying to break down some idols? Are you trying to pull them out of those false gods that they're serving? I'm going to read from Exodus 20 now. Then the Lord said to Moses, get up early in the morning and confront Pharaoh as he goes to the water and say to him, this is what the Lord says, let my people go so that they may worship me. If you do not let my people go, I will send swarms of flies on you and your officials, on your people and into the houses. The houses of the Egyptians will be full of flies and even the ground where they are. So I can't make a direct correlation between this and the flies, but I'm going to anyways. I think this plague, and I couldn't find it actually attacking any specific god of the Egyptians, but it definitely would have attacked their comfort, right? Because like we have those flies in our house. Are you comfortable chasing flies around? Like it's even horrible to kill them because they usually land where you're wanting to eat, right? I have this cup that I like to drink out of every morning that sits on the counter, and I'm like, I have to get a new one. I don't know if there was flies in there or not, right? Super uncomfortable. So I think what we're seeing here is at this time, you got to realize Egypt would have been a very prosperous city, very rich. The people would have been very well off to do. We could just call it Idaho. If you think about it, if you guys don't believe that, in 2021, in order to the extreme poverty line for the world was if you made less than $1.90 a day. I need you to think about that. I probably have that in my couch right now. If you don't think you're rich, you really need to check yourself. We are so wealthy. I can't remember if I heard this somewhere or if I was on the mission field and somebody said this to me, but they're like, man, you know you're rich when you build a house for your car. Like where I was at, they were like, man, I can't believe you build a house for your car. I'm like, it gets worse. We build a house for our traveling house that we put onto our garage that houses our car that houses us. What? But that's, guys, we live in the Disneyland of the world. We have everything here. If you step outside of this country, I mean, come down to Mexico with me. I had a family of seven living in a Vizqueen plastic house made out of wood. Happier than they were so excited to get that house. And I catch myself going, I don't like my neighborhood. The kids are too loud. They walk across my lawn. I'm starting to age myself here a little bit. We are very well off to do. And we should not fool ourselves that we're not. I mean, think about the convenience in, man, geez, I should have took a picture of my front area. We have 15 Amazon boxes sitting out, right? We ordered some chairs. I ordered a doggy door that doesn't fit that's going back. I just ordered a part for my watch. I ordered some drinks on the internet. I'm like, this is so great, and I love Amazon because I don't have to go anywhere and search for anything. I just get on the internet, and I'm like, I need that. I got it. And now it's showing up like the next day. That does freak me out a little bit. But guys, we have it so good and so convenient. How easy is it for us to get disgruntled? How easy is it for us to be upset that things aren't going perfectly? I'll tell you something about me. I almost never leave late for anything, right? There's one major reason for that. I am a complete and total jerk when I'm running late. I hate stoplights, every driver on the road, every little inconvenience of the road construction. I solved it. I just leave early. Nothing bothers me. You do not want to be in the truck with me when I'm running late. I get very irritated. So as God is casting these flies out upon the Egyptians and making life miserable, I think we should just reflect on ourselves and say, hey, are there maybe a few things in our life that God's maybe putting a few flies in your life to say, hey, you've got it pretty good. And you might be idolizing that. See, we always get these uncomfortable things. We get these nuisances in us, and we're just like, oh, God, take that away. But maybe that's not what he's trying to say. Maybe he's trying to get your attention like he was mine 20 years ago. If you don't think you idolize things, look at your bank account. This is what Pastor Cliff used to say all the time. You want me to know your heart? Show me your checkbook. I guess it would be your bank statement now. I'm probably the only one left with a checkbook. I actually have 4 of them. Gail's got one in the back. Look at where's your money go? I don't know who gives and who doesn't here. I think there's only like 1 or 2 people that do. But I know we took our church budget and stripped it down as far as we could go. As far as we could go. And we can't even meet that. We're still like $5,000 short. God tells you to be a cheerful giver. Not out of compulsion. Not because I'm up here telling you about it. Because the Spirit of God is moving in your heart. He wants your heart. He doesn't want your money. I don't get paid to do this. I don't care if you give or not. I care about your heart. I know what it did for my heart. I remember when I was selfish and stingy and held on to everything, and God said, it's gone. Okay. Okay. See, when you have a closed fist, you can't give or receive. So I would challenge you today to check your finances. What about your luxuries? What about the luxuries of your home and your car? The luxuries of vacations all the time? Are those bad things? Absolutely not. Do I do them? Heck yeah. Do I have nice vehicles? Sure do. Paid for, though. We're not going to do... Okay, I lied. We do have one debt. But I have such a great interest rate on it, I just can't let it go. It'll be paid off within the next couple months. Because God was showing me, he's like, man, the borrower is slave to the lender. Randy, even at 1% interest, you're still a slave to the lender, and you need to get out of this. So anyways, I just want to challenge you guys today. If you feel that God is sending those flies in your life, don't always just think that you need to pray it away, that you might want to go, hey, God, what are you trying to teach me? What are you trying to show me? Maybe my vacation this year shouldn't be down to Florida and Disney World. Maybe we should, I don't know, go on an awesome mission trip to Mexico. For you that don't know, I go to Mexico every year, so I'm trying to sell that one. Lots of great opportunities. All right. Oh, and I forgot to add this point. I can tell you that we idolize things because we'll also buy these things before we can even afford them. I just read this yesterday. U.S. consumer credit card debt right now has jumped to nearly $1 trillion. So not only are we going, I want that, but I want it before I can even afford it. Guys, look, I was $50,000 in debt when I became a Christian. I was living with my mom, raising a couple little girls, and went, enough is enough. I'm not going to idolize that stuff anymore. I'm not going to pretend like that is going to save me or give me comfort anymore. And God has been good and faithful to me as I've been good and faithful to him. And it's not about the blessing. It's so cool to just be able to have that heart aligned with God. And now instead of just being a consumer, I get to be a giver. I get to share. I get to support other people. Excuse me. I am married for 13 years now. I should say we get to do these things. And my wife is an amazing giver. We'd be flat broke if I let her give all the money away. All right. Here, I'm going to go on to Exodus 25 and 28. Then Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron and said, go sacrifice to your God here in the land. But Moses said, that would not be right. The sacrifice we offer the Lord our God would be detestable to the Egyptians. And if we offer sacrifices that are detestable in their eyes, will they not stone us? We must take a 3-day journey into the desert to offer sacrifice to the Lord our God as he has commanded us. Pharaoh said, I will let you go to offer sacrifices in the land your God in the desert, but you must not go very far. Now pray for me. Oh, there's so much to unpack there. Look at the compromise here of Pharaoh. You're going to see this. Tell me this is not what sin and the devil tries to do. Yeah. Okay, fine. God has proved his power. That's great. But don't go all the way in. Don't go all the way, right? Does not the sin of compromise like kind of just get into our lives all the time? Yeah, it's okay that I have those apps on my phone. There's some good stuff on there. I know the algorithm is going to attack me. I know they're going to send me that crap that I don't need to be looking at. But I need this. I need this for my comfort. I need this for my business. What about those relationships? I know this isn't right. I know that's ungodly. Or I know it looks bad, but I want this. So I'm going to compromise. I'm going to set my convictions aside and I'm going to say, hey, here's my compromise. I'm going to be okay. Pharaoh is fine with him going, yeah, okay, go sacrifice, but don't go too far. I think the devil does this in our Christian walk as well. Hey, don't be that religious fanatic that always talks about God. Man, be a Christian. I don't know, quotations. But don't get super involved. Show up to church about once a month. That should be good. Definitely don't get in a small group. Don't be active with anything. Don't give of your wealth to God. Just kind of compromise. We should be careful. The devil runs around like a roaring lion looking for who he can devour. And one of those techniques is compromise. Check your hearts. When you go through this and go through these times and look at the things that you do and the things that you are a part of and your commitment to those things that are good, are you compromising those? Are you going all in for the things of God? Are you selling yourself short on the things of the devil and saying, it's okay to have a little bit of this in my life? Right, it's the old analogy, if we put a little bit of dog poop in the cake, would you eat it? If it's just a little bit, nobody's going to eat the cake. Neither should we compromise when it comes to the things of evil. Well, you know what? Actually, Terry, if you guys want to come on up, and I'll wrap this up as we're going. So today, as we follow this in conclusion, I think you're going to be in two camps right now. You're going to be in two camps. You might be where I was 20 years ago, kind of like Pharaoh, living high on the hog. Your gods are taking care of everything. You get up early to go worship them. And then these plagues come in, or these wonders and signs, as God called them. And he's trying to get your attention. And he's saying, hey, your gods are false gods. Your gods of comfort and of money, your gods of relationship, and anything else you idolize. There's no fulfillment there. I have tested the world. There is nothing out there that fulfills you as Christ does. Or you might be in the other category. You might be knowing people that go through this, and this is where I challenge you. This is where you need to know the will of God. We are not helping people. If God is trying to get their attention, we need to be aligned with God. We need to be able to go, God, what is it that you're doing in their life? I think this is probably the hardest with children, because I see it in my own children, and I go, oh, God. Why are you guys doing that? Did you not learn from me? Did I not tell you I went out and got everything the world ever offered and it failed me? Why would you go down that same path? Oh, but God reminds me, hey, Randy, as for you and for others, my grace is sufficient. In your weakness, Randy, in their weakness, I'll be made stronger. So today, as you are either in the Pharaoh position and God is kind of breaking down your idols, or if you know people going through it, I just honestly ask you, look inside your heart, seek God for those things. Seek God for the answers of life, not from the world. Seek God for the spiritual answers of helping those around you. So seek God for those things that, hey, Lord, how can I align with you for what you're doing over here? And may God just be glorified in all those things. Let's pray. Lord, how great are you? That you come from down from your throne to walk among us, to be humble enough to serve alongside us, to show us that I am truly with you. And Lord, as we have reflected today on possible idols in our life, comforts, Lord, sacrificial giving, obedient giving, Lord, as we've talked about being faithful to serve you even when others are going through trials, Lord, would you grant us that wisdom? Would the Spirit be so deep in our hearts that we would know the things of God. We would be aligned with you and we would know your plan. Father, you work with us even in our weakness. You use our gifts knowing that we will probably fall short. But as a good father, you stay with us. You move us forward. You never give up on us. So Lord, as we sing song and praises to you about all these things, may it stir in our heart that we truly believe that you are the God that can turn dust into gnats, that you can bind up the oceans. Lord, that you have Satan by the chains, that his power is limited, and the power inside of us is great. As that song said, may we be who you say we are. And may we live that out and according to your will. In Jesus' name, amen.